ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5 and 15, entitled The Descendants of King Priyavrata, text number 13 onwards.
Yatrinanaparishidevatiryan
Manushya virutrinamavirincha
Manushya virutrinamavirincha
प्रियेण सद्यः सह विश्वजीवा।
प्रियेण सद्यः सह विश्वजीवा।
प्रीतः स्वयं प्रीतिमागकस्य।
प्रीतः स्वयं प्रीतिमागकस्य।
यत्प्रीणनात् बर्हिषिदेव तिर्यन्।
यत्प्रीणनात् बर्हिषिदेव तिर्यन्।
मनुष्य विरुत्रणमाविरिञ्च।
मनुष्य विरुत्रणमाविरिञ्च।
प्रियेत सद्य सह विश्वजीवा।
प्रियेत सद्य सह विश्वजीवा।
प्रीत स्वयं प्रीतिमगाद्यस्य।
प्रीत स्वयं प्रीतिमगाद्यस्य।
यत् प्रीणनात् बर्हिषिदेव तिर्यन्। मनुष्य वीरुत्रणमाविरिञ्च।
मनुष्य वीरुत्रणमाविरिञ्च।
प्रियेत सद्य सह विश्वजीवा।
प्रियेत सद्य सह विश्वजीवा।
प्रीत स्वयं प्रीतिमगाद्यस्य।
प्रीत स्वयं प्रीतिमगाद्यस्य।
यत् प्रीणनाद्रसि देवातिर्यन्। मनुष्य वीरुत्रणमाविरिञ्च।
मनुष्य वीरुत्रणमाविरिञ्च।
प्रियेत सद्य सह विश्वजीवा।
प्रियेत सद्य सह विश्वजीवा।
प्रीत स्वयं प्रीतिम् अगाद्गयस्य।
प्रीत स्वयं प्रीतिम् अगाद्गयस्य।
यत्प्रीणनाद्वर्हिषिदेवतीर्यम्
मनुष्यवीरुत्रणमाविरिञ्च।
प्रियेत
सद्य सह विश्वजीवा।
प्रियेत सद्य सह विश्वजीवा।
प्रीत स्वयं प्रीतिमगाद्यस्य।
प्रीत स्वयं प्रीतिमगाद्यस्य।
यत्प्रीणनाद्बर्हिषिदेवतीर्यन्
मनुष्य वीरुत्रणमाविरिञ्च।
मनुष्य वीरुत्रणमाविरिञ्च।
प्रियेत सद्य सह विश्वजीवा।
प्रियेत सद्य सह विश्वजीवा।
वृथा स्वयं प्रीतिम् अगाद्गयस्य।
प्रीता स्वयं प्रीतिम् अगाद्गयस्य।
Word of translation, Yat Prinanat.
Yat Prinanat.
Because of pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Bhartishi.
In the sacrificial arena.
Deva Tiryak.
The demigods and lower animals. Manushya.
Human society.
Virut.
The plants and trees.
Tranam. The grass. Avirincha. Beginning from Lord Brahma.
Lord Brahma.
Priyeta
becomes satisfied.
Sadhyaha.
Immediately.
Saha. That Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Indeed.
Vishwajivaha.
Maintains the living entities all over the universe.
Preetaha.
Although naturally satisfied.
Swayam.
Personally.
Preetim.
Satisfaction.
Agat.
He obtained.
Gayasya.
Of Maharaj Gaya.
Translation: when the Supreme Lord is pleased by a person's action, automatically all the demigods, human beings, animals, birds, bees, creepers, trees, grass, and all other living entities, beginning with Lord Brahma, are pleased. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the super soul of everyone, and he is by nature fully pleased. Nonetheless, he came to the arena of Maharaj Gaya and said, "I am fully pleased." Purport by His Seventh Day Saint Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai!
It is explicitly stated herein that simply by satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one satisfies the demigods and all other living entities without differentiation. If one pours water on the root of a tree, all the branches, twigs, flowers and leaves are nourished. Although the Supreme Lord is self-satisfied, he was so pleased with the behavior of Maharaj Gaya that he personally came to the sacrificial arena and said, "I am fully satisfied." Who can compare to Maharaj Gaya? Verse 14 and 15.
Just a translation.
I read them. Gaya Gayantyam Chitraradha Sugitihi Avaradhana Idi Praya Putraha Babhuva Chitra Arthat Urnayam Samrat Ajanishta Tata Ulkalaya Marijit Mariche Bindu Matyam Bindum Anu Dabatyata Tasma Saraghayam Madhur Nama Bhavan Madoho Sumanasi Viramratas Tato Bhojayam Mantu Pramantu Jatnyate Mantoho Satyayam Bhavana Stato Dushnayam Tvashta Janishta Toshtu Virojanayam Virojo Virajasya Shatajit Pravaram Putra Shatam Kanyacha Vishishyam Kila Jata. In the womb of Gayanti, Maharaj Gaya, we got three sons named Chitraratha, Sugati and Avarodhana. In the womb of his wife Urna, Chitraratha begot a son named Samrat. The wife of Samrat was Utkala, and in her womb Samrat begot a son named Marichi. In the womb of his wife Bindumati, Marichi begot a son named Bindu. In the womb of his wife Saragha, Bindu begot a son named Madhu. In the womb of his wife named Sumana, Madhu begot a son named Virabrata. In the womb of his wife Bhoja, Virabrata begot two sons named Mandhu and Pramandhu. In the womb of his wife Satya, Mandhu begot a son named Bhavana. And in the womb of his wife Dushana, Bhavana begot a son named Tvashta. In the womb of his wife Virajana, Tvashta begot a son named Viraja. The wife of Viraja was Vishuchi, and in her womb Viraja begot 100 sons and one daughter. Of all the sons, the son named Shatajit was predominant. Verse 16. Tatraya shlokaha. Prayavratam mamshamimam virajascharamodbhavah agarokyalam kritva vishnu suraganam yadha. There is a famous verse about King Viraja. Because of his high qualities and wide fame, King Viraja became the jewel of the dynasty of King Priyavrata. Just as Lord Vishnu, by his transcendental potency, decorates and blesses the demigods. Purpose. Within a garden, a flowering tree attains a good reputation because of its fragrant flowers. Similarly, if there is a famous man in a family, he is compared to a fragrant flower in a forest. Because of him, an entire family can become famous in history. Because Lord Krishna took birth in Yadu dynasty, the Yadu dynasty and the Yadavas have remained famous for all time. Because of King Viraja's appearance, the family of Maharaj Priyavrata has remained famous for all time. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 5th canto, 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the glories of the descendants of King Priyavrata. Hare Krishna.
Om Jnanati Vrathasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagnar Gunadhanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagnar Lalita Shri Vishaghanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kamta Radha Kamta Namostute Tata Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhara Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Gatpata Rupyasya Kripa Sindhu Kevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaurav Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna
Today we will speak about three points. Here, as you can see in the 13th verse, it is mentioned that when the Supreme Lord is pleased, all the demigods, all human beings, all animals, all plants, all beasts, all creepers, all grass and all other living entities are pleased. This is a very important point to be understood. And the context here is that as King Gaya was performing his sacrifice, just with the sacrifice, the Lord is pleased. And along with the Lord, all living entities are pleased. However, the Lord personally appeared in the sacrificial arena and he told King Gaya and whoever present in that sacrificial arena that I am pleased. This is very interesting thing that we are serving the Lord. Maybe somebody is preaching, somebody is worshipping an arati or of cooking and offering, and the Lord is coming and telling you, I am very pleased with your offering. Oh, Isn't it? The Lord, His voice is so sweet. And He is personally telling that I am very much pleased with your service. This is indeed perfection of a devotee's life. We had to understand in the Vedic sacrifices which used to be performed in different ages, usually demigods would personally appear. And the whole team of priests used to sit in the sacrificial arena along with a big fire, and certainly the Yajamana is there, who is the in charge of the sacrifice. Not only that, after that all the subjects are present in the sacrificial arena. Just like if you go to HCG, the whole subjects are sitting in the stadium, and in the middle there is a big sacrifice, and they can see that here we go, these priests are chanting mantras and they are offering different ingredients to the fire. There they can see Lord Indra coming, then they can see Varuna coming, then they can see Vayu coming, then they can see Chandra coming, and they can see, here we go, this four-headed Brahma personally appearing in the sacrificial arena. Indeed, this gave faith to the people who were present, because these sacrifices were not futile. They could see the personalities who were being worshipped coming, idam Indraya, idam Mama. So immediately Indra will come and accept the oblation. This is Vedic sacrifice which used to be performed in a different age altogether. Currently, people in general have faith in science. Why? Because they can see that with the development of technology, they can gratify their senses. So, yeah, science must be true. The materialistic science must be true. There is all in all, they can do anything. There is abundant faith in the science, even though science cannot explain most of the basic things about life. So this is called faith. So we can see, here we see something else, that is, technology is the faith builder for science, even though science in itself has in progress a lot. It is very minimal. It is not sufficient. At the same time, here, with respect to the sacrifices, the demigods are personally appearing, and in special sacrifices, not just the demigods or Lord Shiva, the Lord personally would descend. So King Gaya performed sacrifice, the Krishna Vishnu form personally came and accepted, and not only accepted, he said, I am fully satisfied. So this is a point we had to understand very carefully, that if the Lord is satisfied, then everyone is satisfied. Here it is enumerated, the list is very much enumerating, going through different species of life and telling everyone is satisfied if the Lord is satisfied. Of course, we often quote this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the fourth canto, just the previous canto, where Narada Muni instructed Prachetas. It's a very famous verse, you might have heard, right? Which one is that? Just like if you pour water in the root of a tree, all the branches, all the twigs, all the leaves will get nourishment. Similarly, there is another example is also associated in this verse. What is that? If we eat something and if the footstep go into our stomach, the entire body, the entire senses are going to get nourished. So this is very important, that yatha indriyana, all the indriyas, all the senses are getting nourishment simply by putting the food in the stomach. That's all. We don't need to squash the gulab jamun in the hand or push some rasagulla into our ears. Not without that, just putting everything into the stomach, we are getting nourishment. So very wonderful purport is there to this verse, that is for 31:14. However, naturally one doubt come to our mind. I have chanted very good rounds. 16 rounds I chanted attentively. But if I go to my work, my boss is not pleased. If my chanted attentive rounds, Krishna must be pleased. That's what we are reading. But if you go to work, boss is not pleased. So how all the living entities are pleased? Correct or no? It's an important point to be considered. Similarly, we can please Krishna serving Krishna, but doing all the offering, but the neighbors are complaining. Or some countries, you please Krishna, you do everything for preaching, but devotees can be thrown in the jail. So, why do we say that if Krishna is pleased, everyone is pleased? We can see that, practically we can see that everyone is not pleased. Many people are displeased. Then we can say, we are not pure devotees. Look, we are not pure devotees. So, if pure devotees please Krishna in the perfect way, then everything will be okay. Then Prabhupada pleased Krishna in the perfect way. Still, there were many people who were displeased with Prabhupada. There were many, even his own godbrothers became envious of Prabhupada. They were not pleased with Prabhupada. A pure devotee, pure devotion service, Krishna is pleased. We can see Prabhupada's pastime, even Narada Muni was pleased. Even great devotees were pleased, but some other people were not pleased. So this is, how can you understand this point? So this has to be carefully dealt with. So if you make a statement that you know Krishna is pleased, everyone is pleased. Yasmin Sandushto, Jagat Krishna. So it will become a little difficult to comprehend. And we often, and of course the example is very good. Example is very good. Bhagavatam example is very good. Yatha taror mohana niveshete. That is very easy to understand. That is, if you pour water, if you pour water to the root of the tree, then the tree will be nourished. If you put the food in the mouth, the whole body will become nourished. That we can understand. But when it comes to the practical reality, there is a disconnect. We cannot understand. So let's try to understand this point in a bit more deeper way. First, understand the context here. In this context, what King Gaya is doing? King Gaya is performing a sacrifice, and as a result of the sacrifice, the Supreme Lord is satisfied and he personally appears and says, I am satisfied. So, first point is, when Krishna is pleased by sacrifice, then he provides for all. From Bhagavad Gita, we can understand from the third chapter, Yajñartho Karmano Nitta. Otherwise, it is a karma bandhana, right? The karma has to be for Yajñartha. It's clear. And if Krishna is pleased by yajna, then he provides everything through the agency of the demigods. We can see there is rain, there is clean water, there is enough fruits, there are enough grains, etc. Annadhamandi bhutani. So we can see parjanyad anna sambhava. Then, where the parjanya comes, where the rain comes? Karma, by our activities, the base is our activities. So here, if one is pleasing the Lord, then the Lord gives abundance of necessities for everyone. So he doesn't discriminate. Okay, he is a devotee, he is not a devotee, he is a tree, he is a plant, he is a creeper. No, for everyone, whatever is required is provided. So earth is pleased, all the living entities are pleased when Krishna is pleased. So that is one way of understanding that by pleasing Krishna by sacrifice, he provides for everyone. Now also we can see, this human society is going forward because of devotees. Because devotees are performing sacrifices, devotees are performing all different kinds of devotional services, and that is the reason the society is actually moving ahead. We should understand this point. We have to understand it is because of we have chanting, we have book distribution, we have prasadam distribution, there is worship of the deity. This is there, that is actually pushing the world. We shouldn't think otherwise. We shouldn't think these materialistic leaders are there because of technology. We shouldn't think like that. So, from this point, we can understand when Krishna is pleased, the world is being maintained. So, individual basis, one may feel pleased or not, that's a different story, but the necessities are provided for everyone. Second point, I was thinking, we say if Krishna is pleased, everyone is pleased. That's what Bhagavatam said, here also it's there. Krishna is pleased, everyone is pleased. Now, let's take the contrary point to this, exactly opposite. So I am going to say that if Krishna is not pleased, nobody is pleased. Is it true or not? Let's think. The contrary must be true as well, right? If this is true, then the other must also be true. If Krishna is not pleased, then nobody is pleased. So there also there is a problem that we say, look, I am not worshipping Krishna, I am having a good time. Right? So many people say, you know, what is this Hare Krishna, what is this chanting, what is this worshipping God? We don't even accept God. But we are having a good time, we are very pleased. We are very happy. You people are suffering. But we are happy. You are having a problem, we are having a good time. Then what is our point? Is it true? If Krishna is not pleased, no one is pleased? It is true. Why? Because we know that that pleasure or that happiness or that self, that satisfaction is very temporary. So within the self, there is no satisfaction. It is very shallow. So if Krishna is not pleased, nobody is actually pleased. That is easy to understand. It's a very easy point to understand. Because whoever says that, okay, I am enjoying life, we know what is the end of it. So if Krishna is not pleased, nobody is pleased. So it's very easy to understand the contrary point. Then we can understand the original point that Krishna is pleased, everyone is pleased. So externally they may not be pleased, but the soul is actually getting the pleasure. For example, Srila Prabhupada was in America in the matchless gift shop. Prabhupada just started the movement and we know all the hippies were coming. And one drunkard came and sat there. And he was completely out. He was completely unconscious and oblivious to the situation. So somebody already said to Prabhupada, we will just take him out. What's the point? A person completely drunk and just sitting there. Prabhupada said, let him sit there. The soul is listening. The person may not be listening consciously, but the soul is listening. So in that way, we can understand, externally, people may be displeased with our devotional service, but we need to be very clear that the holy name is going inside. Actually, the process is working. The soul within, in the dormant state, is actually being pleased. Even though externally that's not true, but the soul is getting help. He's coming out of the slumber. Some people, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, they will close the ears, please go away. But we keep chanting and we know that even though they are closing their ears, they are getting benefit. Not to the full degree. Depending on the consciousness, they get lesser or higher degrees of benefit. But still, it's happening. So that is another way of looking at it, right? So people are getting benefit on the level of the soul. So we can understand, okay, from in terms of contrary, we can understand. If nobody is, Krishna is not pleased, nobody is pleased. And on the level of Atma, we can understand everyone is getting some pleasure. Even though the mind, the conditioned mind is not able to recognize that pleasure. You know, it is, even for devotees it's true. That chanting some devotees when they chant, it is like a painful experience. You know, the action is Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. So it is, you know, all the action is, this is the, especially somebody coming from outside and this is suffering. The devotees are chanting, it is, you know, chant and be happy. But okay, Harinam is a different story, but when they chant their japa, it is like a struggle and it's a whole facial expression, just like a, you know, the weightlifter in Olympics, how they, you know, lifting, they show all the facial expressions. Similarly, devotees chanting also may show all this expression. But the reality is that inside, there is pleasure is there. Even though it is not immediately recognized, it is actually coming up. So on the level of the soul, it is working. So that also we have to understand. Next, Prabhupada, towards the end of the purport to 4.31.14, that is, Yatha Taravamala Mula Nishevachanena, in that verse, end, Prabhupada makes a point. The conclusion is that by serving Krishna, everything is complete, as confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Bhakti Koile Sarva Karma Kudahoi. That is his conclusion of the verse. What does that mean? All dharma is performed by serving Krishna. So practically, one doesn't have to do any varnashram duties if one is doing bhakti. We accept varnashram duties, whatever is supportive of bhakti. It's a very important point. So this is mentioned even by Baldev Vidya Bhushan in the Bhagavad Gita commentary, very important point. And nectar devotion also we can see. We accept varnashram duties as far as they are supportive of bhakti. Otherwise, we don't do. If we bring that to the current context, why do we do job? Initially, our preaching is, Prabhu, you chant one round, a few rounds you chant, start chanting, you can deal the stress at work. It's very good. You start chanting, then you can deal the stress and get everything. You can have a better life. This is the initial chanting, but that is for the neophytes. So this looks like we are chanting so that we can do our most important activity of work or business, whatever. We can deal with the stress. So this is for the neophytes, you know, just to attract. That's not our preaching. That's not our Bhagavad preaching. This preaching is like you do bhakti to support your work. But our philosophy is exactly the opposite. Our philosophy is you do work to support your bhakti. So just like the varnasam duties are to support the bhakti, in the current context, our work is to support our bhakti. It's a very important point, but very difficult to remember most of the time. People think, now there is lockdown. Sometimes in the job situations are upside down. People are getting fired, but I'm dealing with everything because I'm chanting. Which is true in one sense, but that's not the purpose of chanting. That's not the purpose of devotion service. So, the work is to support our bhakti. So, this has to be very clear for devotees also. So, from that we can understand that Krishna is the real maintainer, not the boss at work. Some people, I have a very good boss. Or my company is very good. They don't put so much of pressure. Great. Which is true. But a devotee has to see, Goptrupte Varanam Tatha. The real maintainer is Krishna. In other words, we have to see that this situation is orchestrated by Krishna. So Krishna is the real maintainer and my first duty is to Krishna. In other words, if Krishna is pleased, he will make the arrangement such that I can go on even with my material life properly. So this is in that way we can understand all dharma is performed simply by serving Krishna. And in this context, Prabhupada writes another point that all the demigods are also pleased by serving Krishna. That's why it's our basic philosophy that we don't need to worship any of the demigods. Just simply worshipping Krishna, everyone else is pleased. It's a reality. We know, because the demigods are actually devotees of the Lord. When someone comes to Krishna consciousness, there's a doubt. I'm worshipping Ganesh for few decades. Not only that, my family, for generations they are worshipping Ganesh or a particular demigod or Ma. For many generations. Now, given that, how can I stop? Because you had to deal with Deva Kopa or Devi Kopa. You had to deal with the anger of the demigods. How can I do that? And that too, we have our family temple where the worship is going on every year for generations, and if I don't take part in it, then definitely the Kula Devata is going to be very much displeased. So this is the initial argument. But please understand that these demigods are more intelligent than us. Demigod worshippers are considered unintelligent, but the demigods themselves are more intelligent than us. So they have more sense. They don't get displeased if you worship Krishna. Rather, they support a devotee's worship. In that way, if a devotee is moving forward in Krishna consciousness, the demigods are actually supporting such worship. So much so that we read already in the fifth canto that Jataparar didn't protest when he was presented in front of Kali as just like a sacrificial animal to be slaughtered. He didn't even protest. But Durga herself became so angry. She personally came out from the deity and started chopping off the head of all the demigods and protected Jataparar. Can you see? So the demigods are actually supporting the devotees. So it is only neophytes doubt that if you don't worship the demigods, then they are going to be angry. The devotees have to be very careful. There are places where even initiated devotees have trouble with this. They say, no, Kula Devata, we have to worship whatsoever. Because it is Kula Devata. If not, my daughter's marriage will have problem. Or my son's job will have problem. Or something will happen to our house. So such kind of fear is still lingering in the devotee's heart. So we have to be very careful how we deal with this. We have to understand from Bhagavatam that if Krishna is pleased, all the demigods are pleased. Then, another way of looking at it is, if we worship Krishna, or if Krishna is pleased, then we don't have any other obligations. Bhagavatam stresses this point, isn't it? Which verse is that? Deva Shri Bhuda Tanrinam Patrinam Nakim Garo Nayam Prini Charajan Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Parihatya Kartam. Devas, one is not obliged to any of the devas. Bhutas, people in general, one is not obliged to people in general if one is worshipping Krishna. Apta, even one's son, relatives and sons, one is not obliged to that. Nirnam, people in general, and Pitruna, even the forefathers, one is not obliged to forefathers because one is worshipping Krishna. So he said, it's mentioned, na kinkara, na kinkara, mayam rini. Rina means debt, there is no debt. Na rini, one is not becoming a debtor to any of this. Why? Sarvatmana, yeah, sharanam sharanyam. One is taking shelter of, who is the sharanyam? Mukunda. One is taking shelter of Mukunda, who is the real shelter, he is the sharanyam. Then one is not obliged to any of these things. Of course, one may perform duties in relationship, but it's not out of obligation, but it's only to set an example. It is mentioned, a devotee doesn't have to even perform Shraddha or Antyeshti for one's own parents. A devotee doesn't have to perform any of these rituals for one's own parents. This is what is mentioned. And it is considered impure devotion if a devotee thinks that if I don't do Shraddha for my parents or forefathers, they will not get benefited. If one thinks that if I don't do it, they will not get benefited. If you don't do this kind of ceremonies, they may go to hell. If one thinks like that, that is considered adulterated devotion service. That is not proper devotion service. If a devotee is thinking that if I don't do Shraddha for my forefathers, they are going to hell or their life is going to be miserable. If one thinks like that, that is impure devotion service. Can you see? It is exactly opposite. Rupa Goswami mentioned. But still devotees perform all these rituals as far as it is required, as far as it is not bothering one's devotion service. For what? To set an example and avoid criticism by common people. That's all. Krishna has already taken care of our forefathers. Krishna has already taken care of our family members, our relatives, our parents. Krishna has already taken care of that. We don't need to worry about it. Can you see? It's a strong statement. We can hear the example of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj had asked, so what about my mother? I am going to Vaikuntha or Dhruva Loka. What about my mother? What did the Vishuddha say? Already in the plane. She is already on board. You don't need to worry. You are second. First mother is there, then you are coming. So this is the situation of devotees. The devotee should never worry about relatives in a materialistic way. That is, if I don't do Shraddha, if I don't do this ritual, something is going to happen to them. No, it is already being taken care of. That's why it's mentioned. 14 generations of devotees is all being taken care of, right? 21 generations. 14 or 21? 21 for Prahlad. 21 generations being taken care. It's very good, yeah. 21 generations being taken care. It's a big thing. So we don't need to worry about it. So in that purport, for 3140, Srila Prabhupada mentions that karma, jnana, all the rituals are dependent on bhakti. Without bhakti, they are not going to work. All the swaha, all the rituals, all the punyaha, all the shraddha, they are not going to work without chanting Krishna's name. But chanting Hare Krishna is not dependent on any of these things. One doesn't have to do any rituals to go back home, back to Godhead, or to please Krishna or the demigods. Just chant Hare Krishna and perform bhakti, that's all. It's very clear. Then one may perform these activities just to give some guidance to other people, that's all. So in that way, all the obligations are taken care by worshipping Krishna. In other words, if Krishna is pleased, everyone is pleased. That's what it means, right? You are not obliged to anyone. What does that mean? Krishna is pleased, everyone is pleased. Because we are not obligated to anyone. Next point is very important. That is, one may still consider, you know, how can we see on a practical level that everyone is pleased if we please Krishna? So we have to see that all benefits or whatever is required for our spiritual advancement is provided by Krishna. So if you want to go deeper to this point, a devotee is constantly under the guidance of the Supreme Lord. A devotee is under the shelter of the Supreme Lord. In devotee's life, always Krishna's hand is there. We may realize or not, but that is our aim, to realize that. One may still say, in a devotee's life, how can we say that Krishna's hand is there all the time? Right? One may wonder. Or how can we practically see that all other living entities are pleased with us? One may pose this question. Then we can see that in life, all situations and all responses of all the living entities at all time is for our advancement. For a devotee who is actually surrendered, even a negative response by a living entity, that is also for our advancement. You understand? So any situation and any responses are ordained by the Lord, isn't it? But nothing moves without sanction of the Lord. And especially for a devotee's life is under the shelter of the Lord, under the orchestration of the Lord. So who is that devotee? We are not talking about pure devotee on Mahabhagavata. Of course, he is completely under the Lord's shelter. But a devotee who has surrendered to the Lord means, in our practical sense, if we are properly chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, how? Shuddhana. What is that Shuddhana? I am not talking about Shuddhana where one can feel that Krishna is dancing on the tongue. So we are all meant to chant Shuddhana on the level of Sadhana. There is a Shuddhana we can all chant on the level of Sadhana Bhakti. It is possible. Everyone can chant, or we have to aspire for that. It is within our reach. What is that? Try to avoid the offenses. So one may ask, okay, actually 10 offenses we can avoid. But the 10th offense, one may feel, how can I do it? Isn't it? We can certainly avoid offense to not offending devotees. We can try our best, really we can try. And if something happens, one can go and ask for forgiveness, etc. And we don't worry, we can avoid karma kanda. We can do all these kind of things. Then one may ask, what is the 10th offense? Yeah, how can we deal with the material attachment? Because we have material attachment. So on a sadhana stage, what we should do, we may have material desires, we may have material attachments, but don't act on that platform. It may come to our mind, but don't act on that platform. That is our responsibility. Don't act on that platform. Material desires, nonsense, lust, anything may come to your mind, but don't act on that platform. Just control and chant. So, and then do attentive chanting. Understanding our relationship with Krishna. Understanding the sambandha to Krishna. Understanding we are servant, and the mood of chanting is, how can I serve you? If we have that conscious feeling while chanting, not thinking all the time, but if we have a conscious mood within, and if we are doing attentive chanting, that is Shudhana in the sadhana stage. So one can start chanting Shudhana being a neophyte. Shudhana doesn't have to start when it comes to Bhava Bhakti or something like that. No. Or becoming a sannyasi guru. Not necessarily. One can start chanting Shudhana whenever you want. Whenever you want, you can chant Shudhana in the sadhana stage. It has to mature, of course. Because that name is going to purify us. That name is going to purify us. So it's very important for all devotees to understand this point. Then what happens, if we are sincerely practicing chanting Sachin rounds and following four yogic principles, we are attempting to chant Shudhana, even that stage itself, we are under the shelter of Krishna. So that time itself, Krishna is orchestrating our life. Krishna's hand is in our life. It is not just for the advanced Mahabharatas. It is applicable for all of us. And then we can deal with our situation in a better way. There are 3 points I want to make. First one is, whatever happens in our life, in any situation or any response of any living entities, first we have to see that it is ordained by Krishna. There is Krishna's hand. So when we have difficulty or we have good times, please understand, Krishna is actually providing this. So a devotee has to see, it's not just karma. So it's not my qualification or problem from my previous life. Yes, that is there, but Krishna is using it now to purify me. So in that sense, in all situations, there is hand of Krishna. This is the first point we have to consciously think, especially when we are going through difficulties or something which is having really good enjoyment. Second, respond to that situation in a Krishna conscious way. This is another important thing. We may have to take guidance. We may need to hear from other devotees. However, respond to that situation in a Krishna conscious fashion. Very important. First, accept this is ordained by Krishna. Second, I will respond to the situation in a Krishna conscious way. This is within our hand. This is also within our hand. Third, learn something from that particular situation. Because this situation is something for us to learn. So we can have some realization facing that particular problem. Or something good happen in our life. In these 3 things when we follow, then we can understand that all situations are connected to Krishna. And I am acting in my best capacity in a Krishna conscious fashion. And I am learning from that situation. In that way we can understand that, okay, we can please Krishna with our ordinary dealing and with our ordinary responses. So it's practical Krishna consciousness. And we need to do that. And of course, when you talk about when Krishna is pleased, everyone is pleased. Krishna can demonstrate that selectively as well. Krishna can demonstrate that also. For example, what did Krishna do with the Akshaya Patra? What is it? Akshaya Patra, right? Draupadi story. Krishna said, okay, he sent okay, all the Durvasa and all 10,000 disciples, they were taking bath. Then Krishna said, okay, give me that one tiny, what, a spinach or you're a grain, whatever it is.
Two different stories.
That spinach doesn't matter, the principle is the same. Yes, and he said, yes, Sri Krishna, Jagat Krishna. That's it. And please, everyone is pleased. So Krishna actually demonstrated. He was pleased just with a little grain or whatever. And Durvasa and all the disciples, they couldn't get out of the water because the stomach was loaded. So he can demonstrate, if he wants, that if he is pleased, everyone else is pleased. Similarly, when Krishna appeared in this world, Krishna was pleased when he appeared. Birth means a happy moment. Krishna was very pleased to appear in this world. And then we can see the environmental changes. All the lakes were full with water. Even in the night, the flowers were blooming. Even though the moon, Navami, Ashtami, right? Krishna appeared on Ashtami, but still it was full moon. So there were so many atmospheric changes, and the Brahmanas, they could fearlessly recite the mantras, and the sacrificial fires were really kindling and they were blazing after that. So you could see the atmospheric changes because of the pleasure of Krishna as he was appearing in this world. So he can demonstrate that as well, personally, that everyone is pleased by Krishna's appearance. So he can, if he wants, he can show that as well. But on a practical level, on a philosophical level, we have to understand all different kinds of points. That is, in essence, we went through different points, like if Krishna is pleased with the sacrifice, he is providing for everyone. Then no one can be pleased without pleasing Krishna. That is a very practical point. And worshipping Krishna is the highest dharma, and that is the only dharma. Then everything else is taken care. Then by serving Krishna, we don't have any other obligations. Deva Shikudatana Namudrana, no other obligation. Then by worshipping Krishna, he will provide whatever we need for our advancement in Krishna. And we can see that if one is pleasing Krishna, and if you want to continue pleasing Krishna, we can see Krishna's hand in each and every situation, and we can respond to those situations in a Krishna conscious fashion, and we can learn and get some realization out of that. So this is one theme that I want to discuss, because that is an important point as it is covered here in the purport of verse 13. And 14, 15, no purport, because they are names of different kings. Why such names are there, even though we just read it through, it's important because they are great personalities and they got the place in Srimad Bhagavatam pages, which is very important. In that way, they are very important. And we can see in the progression of Srimad Bhagavatam, when we see the dynasties, at the end, we can see the appearance of Lord Krishna in these dynasties. So why all these names are mentioned? Because great personalities and incarnations of the Lord and supreme personality of Godhead himself appears in these different dynasties. In that way, they are great. And finally, in the last verse, which I was thinking I read the purport yesterday morning. Now, when I said that I read the purport, then I thought, okay, I have to speak about it. It's also a very, very significant point, because here it's mentioned that about Viraja. Actually, this is the first theme finished, now I'm entering the second theme. There's one more theme actually I had to discuss, because it's a special day, briefly though. So here it is mentioned that because of appearance of King Viraja, the whole dynasty of Priyavrata has become glorious. Yes, very important, right? So just by the appearance of Viraja, the whole dynasty became famous, and to demonstrate that, an example is given. That makes it very sweet. What is that? Just as Lord Vishnu, by his transcendental potency, decorates and blesses the demigods. Now if you see in the sacrificial arena, since the Supreme Lord appeared, the whole arena is being transformed. All the demigods are pleased. They are very pleased to see Krishna himself in front of them in the sacrificial arena. And in the prayers of King Kunti, this point is very importantly mentioned. What is that? Kejidrahu ajam jadam punya shlokasya kirte yador priyasya vyaye malayasyeva chandanam. The Prabhupada often quotes this verse. Malayasyeva chandanam. Because of Chandan, which is coming from the Malaya hills, that Malaya hills have become glorious. Because of the Chandan. Sandalwood, which is appearing in the Malaya hills, because of the Malaya hills are very famous. Similarly, and the whole forest is very fragrant because of sandalwood. So the whole forest is fragrant because of the sandalwood. In the same way, because of the appearance of Krishna, the whole Yadu dynasty has become famous, eternally famous. This is very important. But in the same way, we can see that because Viraja appeared in the dynasty of Priyavrata, the whole dynasty has become famous. Right? So that's it. King Viraja became the jewel of the dynasty of King Priyavrata, just as Lord Vishnu, by his transcendental potency, decorates and blesses the demigod. So the Lord's appearance decorates the entire dynasty. Similarly, because of the appearance of Viraja, the entire dynasty is being decorated. So this is a very important point to consider. Malayasyeva Chandana. So here, why in the Queen Kunti's prayer, this point is mentioned. One of the reasons for the Lord's appearance. So Kejit Ahu. Some people say that the Lord appeared in this material world because that is increasing the glories of the Yadu dynasty in that. And finally, I am moving on to the third thing. That is, today is a special day, as it is the disappearance day of Sri Baladeva Deva. So because of that, we'll speak briefly about Baladeva Deva Bhushan. We are not going to get into all the details, but some of the main points we will discuss. And here, Baladeva Vidya Bhushan appeared in 1720 and he lived up to 1790. So 70 years he lived in this world. Baladeva Vidya Bhushan plays a very important role in our parampara. If you open Bhagavad Gita as it is, which is our main text, the beginning itself, Prabhupada writes, I offer this book to Baladeva Vidya Bhushan for writing such a wonderful commentary to Vedanta Sutra, Govinda Bhashya. So we can understand that Srila Prabhupada recognized the contribution of our great Acharya Baladeva Vidya Bhushan, and so he was so much indebted to him to offer the Bhagavad Gita as it is to Baladeva Vidya Bhushan. Can you see the importance of Baladeva Vidya Bhushan? He offered Bhagavad Gita to Baladeva Vidya Bhushan. Baladeva Vidya Bhushan was born in a Vaishya family in Ramana in Orissa. So he was not born in a Brahmana family. However, from his childhood, he demonstrated intelligence. He studied Sanskrit, he studied grammar, he was able to compose poems, rhetorics, logic, and he studied all the Vaishnava scriptures. Even he was very young. And even in a very young age, Baladeva Vidya Bhushan accepted the order of sannyas in Madhva Sampradaya. He accepted sannyas in the Madhva Sampradaya. And as a sannyasi, he was traveling through holy places. He was a great scholar. He was traveling through holy places. And one time, when he reached Jagannath Puri, he happened to meet a disciple of Rasikananda Goswami. And the disciple's name was Radha Damodar Dev Goswami. So from Radha Damodar Dev Goswami, Baladeva Vidya Bhushan understood more about Lord Chaitanya. So he understood about Harinama Sankirtan. He understood the pleasure that is present in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And he understood how devotees of Chaitanya are in bliss by practice of bhakti in the highest order by serving Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. When he heard this, when he understood this, he started thinking, what can I do? Because I am not just initiated, I am a sannyasi disciple, I am a sannyasi in the Madhva line. So, how can I take reinitiation? Or how can I just leave my parampara and go? Because this is already a bona fide sampradaya. So, how can I leave this and join the party of Lord Chaitanya? Then he understood that Lord Chaitanya, out of his mercy, appeared in the line of Madhvacharya. So in other words, if I follow Lord Chaitanya, I am not really leaving my parampara. I am just sticking to my parampara, but going to a higher level, that's all. In that way, he became a disciple of Radha Damodar Dev Goswami. So he started accepting all the shiksha from Radha Damodar Goswami. And he studied Jiva Goswami's Shat Sandarbhas under Radha Damodar Goswami. And he became a learned scholar in the Gaudiya philosophy. So this is the background of Baladeva Vidya Bhushan. From there, he went to Vrindavan. That time, the prominent Acharya of Vrindavan was Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So he studied under the tutelage of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He became a great scholar, and he understood everything from the Gaudiya Granthas. As you know, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he is a great scholar and he is also a Rasacharya. He knows all about Rasa Tattva. So his commentaries are also filled with Rasa. So from there, Brother Vidya Bhushan studied everything of Gaudiya philosophy and Rasa Tattva. So that time, there was this controversy that was arisen in Jaipur. Jaipur, there were Ramanujacharya followers, Ramanandis. They were the court pundits in the assembly of King of Jaipur, the Rajputs. So the Rajput king was a devotee in the Gaudiya line, initiated in the Gaudiya line, but all these pundits were Ramanandis, and they brought this controversy. And the controversy is that, point number one, this Gaudiya Sampradaya is not bona fide because they don't have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Second point was that there is no scriptural reference sanctioning worship of Srimati Radharani along with Govinda in Jaipur or other temples. So Radharani has to be removed from the worship, and these Gaudiya priests must be removed from serving Radha Govind, Radha Govinda and other deities in Rajasthan. So this was a strong argument, and king cannot refute because the court pundits are proposing, so he couldn't do anything. So it is mentioned that temporarily even they had to move Radharani to inside chamber, and they had to temporarily ban the Gaudiya devotees from worshipping Govindji. It went to that level. Then king of Jaipur immediately sent a messenger to Vrindavan, this is what is happening, so please do something about it. That time, as I mentioned earlier, the prominent Acharya was Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. He considered the points. He knew answer to all their arguments, but he was very aged. Since he was very old, he couldn't make this journey all the way to Jaipur. It was impossible for him to travel all this way because he had to understand that time traveling means either walk or bullock cart. And he couldn't do that. It is too much for him. His body will not sustained that. And so Vishwanatha Thakur appointed Baladev Vidya Bhushan as the representative from Vrindavan to sort out the matter. So Baladev Vidya Bhushan, he went to the court of King of Jaipur, and there all these pundits were there, and they presented their case. First case was, you don't have any bona fide commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So even though we are coming from Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, this is not bona fide. You don't have a bona fide commentary to Vedanta Sutra. Of course, the initial argument was that, from our side, the argument is, we don't need a commentary to Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra because Bhagavatam is a natural commentary to Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra. Bhashyoyam Brahma Sutranam Vedaha Paribrahmitam. So this Bhagavatam is the natural commentary of Brahma Sutra. Bhashyoyam Brahma Sutranam. So there is no need of commentary to Vedanta Sutra. Lord Chaitanya also didn't bother writing a commentary to Vedanta Sutra, even though the philosophy is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because there is no need of a commentary, because it's an exposition by the same author. Then why do you need a commentary? Vedanta Sutra starts from Janmadhyasyataha. Srimad Bhagavatam also starts with Janmadhyasyataha. So both are going in the same direction, but Bhagavatam is explaining very elaborately. So we don't have a commentary. However, this Ramanandis didn't accept. They said, no, this is not acceptable. So they gave Baladev Vidya Bhushan 18 days. So in 18 days, you had to bring a commentary to Vedanta Sutra, which is a very difficult task. To write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. It is highly technical and it is in sutra rupa as aphorisms or formulas. And from there, to bring in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and to establish worship of Radha and Krishna is not ordinary. We can see even other acharyas had to struggle to write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Struggle means, for Ramanujacharya, it is mentioned, he had to write a bona fide commentary of Brahma Sutra to refute the commentary of Shankaracharya. And for that, he had to have Badarayani Sutra. There is a whole pastime, Badarayani Sutra. If there is Badarayani Sutra, from there he can understand more Vedanta Sutra, and based on that one can write a commentary, and without that one cannot write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And for that Ramanujacharya had to go from South India, from Srirangam that time, to all the way to Kashmir by walking. With the disciples they had to go all the way there. And this Badarayana Sutra, one sutra was kept in the Durga temple, which was managed by Shaktayas, worshippers of Durga. And they understood this is going to be a problem because it's a Vaishnava sannyasi, so they didn't give. Even the initially they got, you know, the whole past, and then finally Durga herself had to give this book to Ramanujacharya. And he brought that book, then again it got stolen. By then, one of his disciples had already memorized it. Every night he will, who was that? Kurtarva, that's right, yeah. Kuresh memorized it. And that's how finally Ramanujacharya had this supplementary literature to write the commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So you can understand how Adora's task is to write commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And now Baladeva Vidyabhushan was given only 18 days to bring a bona fide commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So Baladeva Vidyabhushan went in front of Govindji and he paid prostrated obeisances and paid. This is the situation, oh Lord, please do something about it. So he went, that night he slept, and in the dream Govindadev came. And he told, you simply start writing the commentary on Vedanta Sutra. As you start writing, I will start dictating for you. You simply have to write. You take the book, you start writing, I will dictate through you. You will be able to write the complete commentary on Brahma Sutra. So then next day onwards, Baladeva Vidyabhushan started writing commentary on Vedanta Sutra, and in a few days he was able to complete the commentary. Because the Lord was inspiring him, Lord was actually dictating him, Lord was telling what to write, and he was simply writing. And that's the reason Baladeva Vidyabhushan called this commentary as Govinda Bhashya. So in the Govinda Bhashya, he established Gaudiya philosophy. He established the highest principle is worship of Radha and Krishna. He established everything. And on 18th day, he brought the commentary in front of the Ramanandi Pandits and he presented this commentary. He explained the commentary. And they were completely surprised, they were dumbfound. And then they were surrendered at the feet of Baladeva Vidyabhushan. They requested initiation. So Baladeva Vidyabhushan said, I cannot give you initiation because you already belong to a bona fide sampradaya. You follow my path, but in terms of initiation, so be it. So the king was very, very pleased because Baladeva Vidyabhushan turned out to be victorious. So that's how he also had this title Vidyabhushan, because he had Vidyabhushan. He had all the knowledge of the scriptures to establish worship of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And that's the reason we can see that in our Bhagavad Gita, as it is, Srila Prabhupada writes, this is an offering to Baladeva Vidyabhushan, who wrote this beautiful commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And we can also see that Srila Prabhupada very closely follows Baladeva Vidyabhushan, his Gita Bhushan, his commentary Gita Bhushan. He closely follows Gita Bhushan in personal commentary, in as it is. So we can see such a strong connection of Srila Prabhupada with Baladeva Vidyabhushan. He also wrote many, many books and he established the Vaishnava Tattva. Mm-hmm. He even wrote a commentary to Sahasranama, Vishnu Sahasranama, very famous. Right, in India, throughout India, people all chant Vishnu Sahasranama, right? Thousand Names of Vishnu. He wrote a commentary to that. And in that commentary, when it comes to the name of Krishna, he gives a huge purport to it. He says, this is the original name of the Lord. So he gives a very big commentary when it comes to Krishna. And also, in that commentary, he explains the position of Lord Chaitanya. Sanyasa Kruchama Shanta Nishtha Shanti Parayana. Sanyasa Kruchama, this is from Krishna Rasnama. Sanyasa Kruchama Shanta Nishtha Shanti Parayana. The avatar who actually took sannyas. So there he mentions that is Lord Chaitanya. Suvarna Varna Hemango Varanga Chandanagati from Vishnu Rasnama. Suvarna Varna, who is golden complexion in the Lord's incarnations or Lord's appearances? Lord Gaurahari, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he gives elaborate commentary on that. Suvarna Varna Hemanga, golden complexion. Varanga, beautiful limbs. Chandanagati. I think in our congregation there is a Chandanagati Prabhu, right? Chandanagati means one who applies Chandan all over the body, sandalwood paste all over the body. Lord Chaitanya, he used to apply sandalwood paste all over the body, Chandanagati. Then other places mentioned, Sanyasa Krishama, one who accepted sannyas. Shanda Nishtha Shanti Parayana, he pacified the Mayavadi philosophers. In that way, even Balde Vidya Bhushan elaborated, explains Lord Chaitanya as well. So, with this I conclude here. And is there any quick questions or comments? Hare Krishna.
Oh, Janeswar Chintan Gusen.
Yeah.
So, I'm just reading as it is.
Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for a nice lecture. You quoted that Prajanad Anna Sambhavan rain due to activities. It rains when God and demigods are pleased. If it rains too much, causing calamities, is it due to over pleasure or displeasure?
Yeah, the question is, if it's too much of rain, is it pleasure of the Lord? No. It is said, when the Lord is really pleased, when sacrifices used to happen, it used to rain only in the night, so that the living entities are not disturbed. So daytime still they can work, they can go to the field, they can do their agriculture activities. Night it used to rain, whatever is required. Flood is not a sign of pleasure of the Lord.
Too much of
recently, Bimal Prasad Prabhu yesterday showed me the photo. In his compound, a huge tree was uprooted and fell, and by Krishna's mercy, it didn't fall in his house. His house is here, tree is in the edge of his compound, and huge tree, massive tree, it fell in the opposite direction. The electricity lines are there, fell over that, and it is going from this side of the street to way after the other side of the street. To the compound of the next neighbor property on the opposite side of the street, the whole thing. They said they didn't have electricity for 7 days. Past 7 days, no electricity. So this is not because of the pleasure of, because of Krishna is pleased. So calamities, if you go to, you know, if you go to the eastern part of Victoria, lot of calamities, power outage, thousands and thousands of people out because of huge rain, etc. This is uprooted, root upside, you know, outside. This is because there is no sacrifice. Okay? But because there is a devotee there, so the tree didn't fall on the house. Otherwise, house is gone. House is finished. So this is by the mercy of the Lord. Can you understand? So because of the mercy of the Lord, the devotee is pleased. Sorry, the mercy of the Krishna, the devotee is saved. But otherwise we don't know, because people died also in this. So famine and flood, it is because of this pleasure. It's not because of pleasure of the Lord or the demigods. Here the demigods are very displeased. Because no sacrifice. Where is the sacrifice? No sacrifice happening. So that is the situation. Is that clear?
Prabhu, today's verse point. When Lord is pleased, everybody is pleased. Today's verse point. When Lord is pleased, everybody is pleased. Of course, some are displeased. So this is something like when we have a tree, when you put a water to the tree, whole tree is nourished, but there are some branches which somehow got disconnected.
Mm.
So they are not nourished at all.
Yeah.
I guess similarly, when Lord is pleased, but others are not pleased, some are not pleased, So primarily because they're disconnected from the Lord.
Yeah, that is in one sense, in terms of being pleased, that is because of that. But at the same time, the Lord is nourishing them also. That is it. Whether they are serving Krishna or not, as you say, connected or not, Krishna is protecting them. He is with them as Paramatma. So this disconnection is only a temporary thing, and it's a mental thing. Actually, one is very close to Krishna. It's only because of the false ego one thinks that one is disconnected. That in itself is an illusion. Thank you. Grandha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Jai Gaura Premande Hari Gopal.